Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God told me to tell you this.
That's paganism.
Do you really expect and anticipate that the divine voice of God can be heard by you?
That's horoscope reading.
Standing in the office of the prophet of God.
That's reading tea leaves.
You can't have a relationship to God if you can't hear God.
That is not biblical Christianity.
You want to hear God speak to you? Read your Bible. If you want to hear God speak to you audibly, read it out loud. I promise you, 100% guaranteed, you will hear Him speak.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The devil doesn't need heresy to destroy church. He just needs dumb. This is Wretched Radio. Tim Challies, our Canadian blogger and fellow here at Fortis Institute. Zoink Scoob at Challies.com. Dumb will do. Why Satan doesn't need heresy. The devil hates Jesus. The devil hates his bride, the church. And so he spends a considerable amount of effort trying to get the church to discredit itself. And it doesn't require rank heresy. All it requires, according to Tim Challies, is to be dumb, to be silly, to be trite, to be low, to be carnal, to be worldly. That's all it takes to discredit itself with the world. And so it is. We're seeing plenty of discrediting going on, courtesy of the evangelical churches that I think are missing the cultural moment. I think they're just simply not reading the winds rightly. No, we don't alter our message because of what's happening in culture. The zeitgeist changes, so our message changes. No, that's not the way we operate as Christians, but that's not to suggest we're not aware of how people are thinking in general, and I don't think people are looking for dumb. I think people are looking for something transcendent, something eternal, something bigger than themselves, something that gives them a reason to wake up in the morning and go, okay, yeah, this day is worth living. And they get on it because they know that they're doing something bigger than living for themselves. Let me share some quotes from Tim Challies' article. By the way, speaking of Tim Challies, this is going to be so awesome. I don't know if you've lost a loved one, perhaps a child. Tim Challies lost his son. It's hard to imagine anything harder than that. And he has written so helpfully his book, Seasons of Sorrow, magnificent. I heartily commend it to you. And I also commend it to you to help you, if you haven't lost somebody who's near and dear, to be able to minister to those who have. That book is helpful. And so will this webinar be. We are doing a webinar Thursday, March 13th, with Tim Challies. Comforting those who mourn. If that describes you, or if it describes your desire to help people, be looking for the deets. That's right. I said deets. Thursday, March 13th. Back to Tim Challies' article. Satan does not need to make the worship services heretical. He doesn't need to replace truth with damnable error. He just needs to make the worship services dumb. And wow, a lot of these services are just plain dumb. He just needs to make them trite and vapid. He just needs to make them unserious. And eventually, the church will diminish in strength and decline in power. And we've seen that, haven't we? And by the way, we've seen that declining in power inside of the compromised Protestant denominations. The Episcopalian Church, Methodism in large part, Lutheranism, at least the non-confessional branches of Lutheranism, they're just dwindling and dying. And it's going to be interesting. Can't wait to see where all this Doge business goes, to see if it's true that the ELCA and the Episcopalian denomination are getting a lot of money from the government, which might explain how they're able to stay afloat these days. They've compromised and capitulated. They don't call people up. Instead, they leave them wallowing where they are. And they're diminishing in strength and declining in power. And their numbers are just plummeting. Although I did read, somewhere in my pile, there was an Episcopalian. I think it was in all of this immigration business and ICE, they're going to break down the doors of churches and it's not safe for people. An Episcopalian said that's the reason for the decline of the Episcopalian churches. Illegal immigrants are afraid to show up. That's why you're declining. Can you explain why you were declining precipitously before the Trump election? Who are they kidding? The Episcopalian church, it is just dying. Back to Chalice. If Satan wants to harm your church, that should get everybody's attention. It's possible that he will raise up a heretic to the pulpit or introduce a wolf into the membership. It happens, but it's also possible he may cause the members to begin to feel embarrassed by what they consider old-fashioned patterns of worship and to ask for or demand something else. We need to be current and cool, Daddy-O, which is, again, I think a misreading of the majority of folks who are looking to get plugged into a church. Please don't give me another fourth-rate pop band on stage in their pseudo-celebrity clothes singing repetitious music. Give us something bigger. Give us something deeper. Give us something more profound. Challies. He may cause the pastors to begin to feel sheepish about lengthy prayers, to doubt the usefulness of reading substantial passages of scripture, to wonder if it inhibits preaching to tie the point of a sermon to the point of a text. There is pressure that churches feel. You just can't help it. We've all got a little David in us. We want to count the numbers. How are we doing? What was attendance this week? I think it's pretty natural. Pastors feel that too. They can't help but look out and wonder, where are those families this week? And so they might start to feel the pressure of doing things to woo people. And typically ends up in just sheep stealing as opposed to actually building the church through evangelism. But they feel the pressure to count heads and to respond by making the church cool. And inevitably, it becomes anything but cool. It becomes trite. By the way, Jimmy, Alpharetta Bible Church, long prayers, long readings, if necessary. We don't do long readings just because we want to do long readings, but we'll do them if the text is long.
Right.
So be it. And we'll stand for the reading of God's word.
Yeah.
And the prayers, yeah, they are a little bit longer. Instead of capitulating, then why don't we all try to grow together and focusing a little bit longer than we do on social media and YouTube videos? How's about the church goes counter to everything that says zippity-doo-dah and that we do something that is deep? And by the way, Jimmy, speaking of Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church,
okay,
I was told several times, it's okay.
Oh, what's wrong?
Several people told me after this Sunday service that it was the best sermon I've ever preached.
Oh,
yeah, except I didn't preach. It was Dr. Adam Tyson. Ow. That was really the best sermon I've ever heard you delivered, but it wasn't. I didn't. It was
exactly
Dr. Adam Tyson. Preaching again, you know what? His sermon would be unacceptable in so many churches. It was nothing but Bible. And I mean, oodles of Bible. It was about Jesus being better, the superiority of Jesus Christ, courtesy of the book of Hebrews. He's better than and his application. Oh, this was really good. This made it poignant. What were the Hebrews in the book of Hebrews struggling with? Hey, the temple, it's gone, the sacrificial stuff, and everything is getting destroyed, and we're transitioning from Judaism to the church age. I don't know how to do that. I'm tempted to go back. And Adam's question was, are you sometimes tempted to go back? When life gets hard, when you're feeling pressure, or you think that God isn't near, are you tempted to go back to your former way of living? Not to Judaism necessarily, but maybe to some other religious tradition, or to a lifestyle, or to worldliness. Don't, because Jesus is better. It was a great sermon. Had a great time with Dr. Adam Tyson. Back to Challies. He may encourage the church to pursue what they deem fresh and attractive, or what they think will draw the community around, perhaps in the area of music. It's always the music. The devil will slowly reshape the church from the instructions of Scripture to the whims of the people, who should decide how worship is done. How's about the one that we're worshiping? I don't know. Call me kooky. The devil will slowly reshape the church's worship so it slides from holy to worldly, from sacred to profane, from meaningful to dumb. And so the great question for each person and each church is this: do you believe God tells his people how to worship, or does God leave it to us? Do we need to trust that God knows how we need to worship him and that he has given us specific instructions, or do we determine that God is glad to have us worship him however we see fit? If you lean toward the latter, don't be surprised when one day you wake up and your church is just downright dumb. Not only, I think, is it a wrong reading of the cultural tea leaves, low worship, just not biblical. It's D-U-M-M dumb. This is Wretched Radio.
For 25 years, we've watched Christianity's place in America change dramatically.
This is Wretched Radio.
But one thing hasn't changed: our commitment to proclaiming God's truth without compromise. A quarter century of preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach the gospel, and strengthening the local church. 25 years of equipping pastors. 25 years of helping Christians navigate an ever-changing world with biblical wisdom. From our early days to our current home at Fortis Institute, we've had one mission: equipping believers to stand firm in their faith. Today, we're creating more content than ever before. Hundreds of hours of audio and video resources, daily biblical teaching and tools to help you thrive. Thank you for standing firm with us for a quarter century. Together, we've built something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Visit FortisInstitute.org and join us as we continue this vital work. 25 years of together faithfully serving our King. And we're just getting started.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King. The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work, and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
We live in a world where feelings are ruling the day. Truth, that's optional. Love, redefined. Your emotions, let them run wild, or better yet, shut them down completely. Neither extreme is biblical. But on The Better Way with Libby Glossin, you're going to find something rare. Intelligent talk radio for women that isn't swayed by culture. No truth bombs without love, no sugar coating without substance, just a balanced biblical approach to the tough questions you're facing every day. Emotions aren't meant to be ignored, but they're also not meant to rule you. Boundaries aren't the answer, but neither is blind trust. And feminism, it's not about equality anymore, it's about dethroning God. If you're tired of the empty words and the shallow advice, it's time for something better. It's time for The Better Way with Libby Glossin. No platitudes, no nonsense, just the truth wrapped in wisdom. Because in a world full of compromise, there is indeed a better way.
Know your reformers. John Calvin was a French pastor, an author of the Institutes of the Christian Religion. His writings and ministry made Geneva, Switzerland, a hotbed of Reformed theology. His institutes are still guiding documents for Reformed churches across the globe.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Start writing your acceptance speech now. You'll be glad you did. This is Wretched Radio. It's just a matter of time before somebody from some sort of award organization contacts us to grant us the award for the best segue of the year. Get ready. Here it comes. Hey, G3 is coming up this fall. You say, why should I care about G3 coming up this fall? It's because it sells out. G3 is a massive con. In fact, G3 is actually bigger than Shepherd's Conference, which I think is going on right about. Jimmy, would you check the date? As long as you just take a moment from writing your acceptance speech. What is the date for ShepCon this year? G3 is about twice as big. It's in a massive facility in downtown Atlanta. And this year's lineup includes Paul Washer, H.B. Charles, Joel Beakey, Justin Peters. Martha Peace is going to do a breakout session. And if you'd like to attend before it sells out, it is this fall. Visit g3min.org, g3min.org. Use the promo code FORTIS, all caps, FORTIS, and you save 30%. That's a good deal. FORTIS, all caps. Use it at the checkout and you'll get 30% off on your registration for G3 coming up. Wow. It's been 2 years already. Zoink, Scoob. Jimmy, when's the ShepCon happening?
Next week, March 5th through 7th.
And just another magnificent conference. Just an outstanding opportunity to just go drink from a fire hydrant. And speaking of Justin Peters, there it is right there, baby. See? Hey, right there.
Yep, that's
we it. We are Segway Central here at Wretched Radio. We're writing an article for The Blase. Are you familiar with The Blase? It's theblaze.com. Justin Peters talking about Paula White. This doesn't shock any of us who have followed her. Even in a, all you need to do is watch a video clip and realize, oh boy, what kind of a show is she putting on in Florida? And the answer is a false teacher show. She's a word faith preacher and she is now leading the Office of Faith inside of the White House. How much attention Donald Trump will give to it, who knows? But there she is, and she is. And this article exposes it very pithily, but I always knew she was word faith, but wow, is she word faith. Paula White is not shy about wanting to get rich, but it gets even worse than that. From Justin Peters, Paula White enthusiastically agreed with word of faith preacher Larry Hutch in his statement, quote, Jesus is not the only begotten Son of God.
What?
Just, you know, going against the Bible clearly stating he's the only begotten Son of God, going against church history, a begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light. I mean, but going against the creeds. Why? Because we're gods too, don't you know? She's taught that Christians are little gods and once said, quote, wherever I go, God rules. When I walk on White House grounds, God walks on White House grounds. Wow. I have every right and authority to declare the White House as holy ground because I was standing there and where I stand is holy. Zoinks, Scoob. This woman, you talk about strange fire. She's breathing it and talk about Is there any truth in her comments? And the answer is no. But there's a sense that you and I, as priests in God's kingdom, we bring the priesthood, if you will, with us. In other words, how we act, how we speak, how we give, how we share. And we are acting as priests, even to an unregenerate world. That is true. The doctrine of the priesthood of all believers teaches us that. But that's, I was going to say a little different. No, that's eternally different than where I walk is holy ground and I declare this ground is holy. The only one who can declare anything as holy is God himself. Period. End of story. Now, we can dedicate a church building for holy purposes, but God is the only one who can say, this is holy. He's the only one with that imprimatur. We are not. Paula White, according to Justin Peters, she's told her followers to sow $91. Can you guess why she chose the number 91, Jimmy? Just sow your seed of $91.
No, I can't.
Silly rabbit, Psalm 91. Duh. And secure God's protection from various enemies, including but not limited to sickness and disease. She once told her followers to sow a resurrection seed of, let's see, Jimmy, if you can catch on to this one. Sow a seed of $1,144. You want to know what that's based on?
Please.
John 11:44.
Okay.
Lazarus. What is John 11:44?
Is that where Jesus raises Lazarus?
Well, it could be because that's the chapter, which, by the way, it was the raising of Lazarus that really intensified the crucifixion of Jesus Christ himself. But it really wasn't until Holy Week when Jesus Christ himself turned up the heat. It wasn't just what he did. It was Jesus Christ. And during Holy Week, it doesn't mean it was sinful, but it was absolutely a provocation of the religious leaders. You don't know what you're talking about. You are twice, you make people twice the sons of hell that you are, and your time is done. And Jesus Christ's declaration that Israel and its special position is changing because it's a fig tree that doesn't produce any fruit was a divine declaration. He scalded them and continued to. If you read in Matthew chapter 22, it's what we're preaching through this. When I get to preach again next Sunday, it won't be as good as last Sunday's sermon, though, apparently, about the fig tree declarations. How he said, hey, you're like the rotten son. You're the one who wouldn't come to the banquet. You're a terrible laborer. You're done, Israel. That wasn't enough. He allows a divine press conference where they start peppering him with questions to trick him about the poll tax, about marriage in heaven, the resurrection. And he stymies them and he silences them. And he could have stopped right there, but he didn't. He goes on in Matthew chapter 23 to then just open up on the religious leaders. And then he woes them, depending on how you count them. 7 or 8 woes. He didn't have to do that. Why did he? Because he was making sure that they revealed their true heart. They wanted to kill him. And they did. It was Jesus who orchestrated his own execution. It is Jesus who brought about the timing so that he could be crucified, die, and rise again for you and for me. That is what brought about the crucifixion. And Jesus allowed himself to be in Jerusalem so that he could be arrested. He could have continued running around Israel, but he didn't. Why? Because at just the right time, Jesus Christ orchestrated his own death so that he could be the Passover lamb who died on Passover to take away the sins of the world. John 11:44. Is that Lazarus?
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, she even told her church one night, this is Paula White, some of you got to be at a place of sacrifice. When it's the hardest is when it's sacrifice. You're going to write your checks to Paula White Ministry. If you want to text to give, you can do so. But every single person needs to give something significant. Wow. That's just blatant hucksterism. Hey, speaking of giving, we want to give away. It's our goal here at Fortis to just be giving away stuff. I want to remind you again, the webinar coming up on March 13th, Tim Challies, on the subject of mourning at the tragic loss of a loved one. It will be such a blessing to you and it will equip you to minister to other people. So it's Jason Allen. He's the director of our fellows program, Tim Challies, Mike Schouten. I hope I'm saying that right, Mike, and Brandon Bishop. Wouldn't it be cool if Brandon Bishop became a word faither? and became a bishop?
Bishop.
That would be kind of cool. That I'm telling you, he could be as big a charlatan as Paula White. Conscious that many have rightly criticized such manipulation, as tantamount to buying a miracle, she followed up with, "Now, we're not buying a miracle. We're not doing any Jesus junk. We don't do that kind of stuff. We're simply being obedient. If you have to deny it, there's a pretty good chance you're doing it." In 2021, Paula White endorsed Mother Moon in person at Moon's Unification Church in South Korea. It's a cult and tons of heresies. Taught that Jesus failed in his mission. That's Paula White. Not to mention all of her false prophecies. She's in the office of faith. And all of God's people said, "Oofta." This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break production of Fortis Institute. The latest move from Apple shows just how fragile digital privacy has become. The tech giant has disabled its highest encryption option for British users after demands from the UK government. Apple has long resisted creating security backdoors, but now it seems they've caved to pressure. The company's advanced data protection tool, which ensures only account holders can access their photos and documents, will no longer be available in the UK. And if you're wondering just how long before other governments follow suit, history suggests it will not be long. Speaking of government overreach, Wisconsin's Democratic Governor Tony Evers has decided mother is too controversial a word for his state's budget. His latest proposal replaces it with inseminated person. I really didn't even want to say that, but apparently celebrating motherhood is now offensive in Wisconsin. The document also swaps wife and husband for spouse and father for parent. Sarah Craig of the Republican Governors Association put it perfectly by saying, "Being a mother is the greatest privilege I will have in my lifetime." But it seems like the party that claims to be a champion for women's rights is awfully eager to erase them. Oregon's culture of death continues its march forward. The state Senate is now working to expand its already troubling euthanasia program. Not content with doctors prescribing life-ending drugs, they want nurses and physicians' assistants to join the death brigade as well. Last year, the governor eliminated residency requirements, turning Oregon into a suicide tourism destination. And the results? Well, a predictable surge in deaths, with over 2,800 people dying under the program since its inception. Remember way back when healthcare workers took an to preserve life, not expedite death? And Florida's new attorney general is taking Target to federal court. The retail giant stock took a nosedive after pushing radical gender ideology on families. Not even going to explain the list of things that they sold. You know the majority of them, but the lawsuit accuses Target of misleading their investors because they concealed the obvious financial risks of alienating half of their customer base. The lawsuit notes that corporations that push radical leftist ideology at the expense of financial returns jeopardize the retirement security of Florida's first responders and teachers. And the latest shakeup at MSNBC proves that they're still not getting the message. You thought they did initially, but it just goes to show you. Not yet. They axed Joy Reid, which, okay, that makes sense, but they replaced her with more of the same. The network is bringing in former Biden staffer Simone Sanders Townsend and the left-drifting Michael Steele, topped off with Jen Psaki expanding her role. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Important dates in Christian history. 1517. Martin Luther posts his 95 Theses, a simple invitation for scholarly debate that inadvertently becomes a hinge of history. Luther's challenge to the sale of indulgences sparked the Reformation and changed the face of the world. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Is God having a cultural moment? This is Wretched Radio. If you follow any of the Christian websites, news sources, there have been a fair amount of articles and headlines proclaiming God is back, because there are a number of things that are happening in culture that weren't happening, say, before January 20th. That those things apparently and just were kind of stifled. But now it seems that there's a lot of talk about Christianity in the public square. And there's a lot of good stuff that's happening coming out of Washington that indicates maybe we all haven't lost our minds and maybe we are returning to common sense. John Stone Street at Breakpoint. Formerly Chuck Colson was the leader of Breakpoint, now John Stone Street. I like John. I've never met him. His sensibilities, I don't think I've read anything where I went, Spock guy. What's up with that guy? He rightly asked the question, is God having a cultural moment? Because people are proclaiming that it is. Look at this. Joe Rogan, he had Wes Huff on his show. And to that I say, praise God. I think that's awesome. I really do. Joe Rogan talking about Christianity, I think it gives permission to a lot of young men to at least ask about it without feeling kind of embarrassed. Because if a dude like Joe Rogan is asking a Christian apologist about Jesus Christ, the veracity of the Bible, then I think that they feel emboldened to do likewise. And I'm grateful for that. That's an awesome thing. There have been other obvious public displays of curiosity about Jesus Christ. And he cites some of these, by the way, in his article from Breakpoint. Jordan Peterson, for instance, Jordan Peterson, by the way, I went to listen to some of Jordan Peterson's treatment of the Gospels. I think we shared a little bit of it here. Maybe we did a YouTube video. It was an 8-minute long video about what the gospel is. And I wanted to hear it with great hope that maybe, just maybe, the guy would understand the gospel. This is his gospel exploration, the real meanings of the gospel, without having a conservative theologian on the entire panel, having Dennis Prager, who's not even a Christian, on the panel. It was such a dog's breakfast. I was going to bring it in. It was like, okay, we'll listen to this and maybe we'll hear something great. Maybe we'll hear something helpful. It was so abstract. It was so confusing and otherly. It's as if somebody they were asked, how do you change the oil? And they started to describe how you slice a watermelon. But what did the oil have to do with it? Seedless? Is that how you cut the water? Do you do it this way or the slice it? Or do you do it in chunks and quart? But what does that have to do with changing? I kid you not. It was that much of a mess. It was just such a mess. Nevertheless, I think Jordan Peterson's exploration of Christianity, for better or for worse, and unfortunately, and I don't have joy in stating this, it's mostly for worse. It does give people the ability to say, hey, let's talk about this stuff. It's not so geeky. John Stone Street, there's the former new atheist, Ayaan Hirsi Ali. She became a Christian. We hope that that's true. Tom Holland's best-selling book, former atheist, changed the narrative about the positive role of Christianity in Western civilization, which it is undeniable that that is the case. And to that I say, cool, that's nice. Am I effusive about it? I'll tell you in a moment. Boise State head coach Spencer Danielson praised Jesus at the Fiesta Bowl. Baltimore Ravens head coach John Harbaugh led his team in the Lord's Prayer. Well, he's Roman Catholic, by the way. God talk on and off the field has been conspicuous this season. Bible sales up 22% last year. It looks like things are turning more positive toward Christianity. Now, of course, depending on how you define that, I'm very grateful that these things are happening, that there's at least more of a culture where Christian views can be expressed without like, oh, you guys are stupid and racist and sexist and you're Neanderthalic. You just need to stifle it, Edith. I'm glad for it. But that has virtually nothing to do with the kingdom of God. You say, wait a second, though. If people are talking more about Jesus, people are going to get saved. That has to do with the kingdom of God. What Joe Rogan is up to, I'm glad for it.
I'm glad that he's exploring it, not being hostile toward Christianity. That is a good thing. But it's not a kingdom thing. It's a cultural thing. And John Stone Street does a good job of bringing that out. He quotes a fellow named Justin Brierley. He hosts the Unbelievable podcast. He wrote a book called The Surprising Rebirth of Belief in God. He thinks the wider turning of the secular tide in the West is a result of secularism's failed predictions. A couple of decades ago, new atheists promised a rational utopia in the wake of religious decline. Remember the three horsemen of the apocalypse? Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens, Sam Harris. We need rationalism. We need humanism. It's going to be wonderful. And instead of delivering on its promise, it created a crisis of meaning. What am I doing here? Confusion, mental health, especially in the young, culture wars. Now, a new theist movement has sprung up. And even those not converting to Christ have toned down the anti-Christian rhetoric. Some are even suggesting faith is good for the world. And to that I say, I'm glad. But notice my lack of jumping for joy and clicking my heels. I'm glad for it, but I want to make sure that I understand where it fits in the pecking order. I'm glad for this as much as I'm glad that a business that was once floundering has now gotten itself into the black and it's operating well and they're paying the employees better. I'm glad for that. But that does not affect the kingdom of God. It is only when souls are saved. Brierley cautions that what we're seeing is far from a revival. Many of the cultural Christians of our movement aren't even believers. There's a big difference between regarding Christianity as a useful fiction, that's Jordan Peterson basically, that's able to restore vigor and cohesion to the West, and submitting to it as the ultimate truth that demands our allegiance and devotion. I'm quoting from the article. For the millions of new Bible owners, the difference is between looking for sage advice and looking for God. Neither a better world nor a better you is what Christianity fundamentally offers. Well done, John. And well done to this Mr. Brierley. There's a difference. And while I'm grateful for some of the cultural progress that seems to be made, there's a number of political stories. I know everybody's just happy as a clam that we're defending two genders again. And that, hey, we're because there's only two gametes that can be produced. That's, by the way, I think what Health and Human Services just posted on their website. There's only two genders because of two gametes. And if somebody has some other sort of characteristics because they don't produce a third gamete, that doesn't create a third gender. There are two genders. Now, that's basically like saying water is wet. And it just reveals how ludicrous our culture has become. And now my understanding is the governor of Wisconsin, I don't know what he signed or what he said, not going to call them pregnant women anymore. Inseminated human. Honestly, that is just crazy. That's just crazy. How does somebody who thinks like that hold high office in the dairy state? Bonkers. And so when HHS and when Donald Trump signs an executive order that there are only two genders and that men shouldn't be participating in women's sports, I'm glad, but I'm not losing my mind ecstatic as if somehow the kingdom is affected by that. I don't know what your eschatology is, if you're a one kingdom or two kingdom person. We live in this world, and so we can rejoice when good things like this happen. But I'm not going to be ecstatic because nobody's getting saved from it. I'm glad children will be protected. That's a wonderful thing. But that doesn't mean the kingdom is being expanded. Final quote from John Stone Street. Those hoping to make him useful overlook that the West did not become a great civilization because people believed Christianity offered good advice. But they believed it was true. That is a radical difference. Jordan Peterson is missing that totally. You cannot pull out the Bible thread of Western civilization's tapestry and have it remain a garment. It would just fall apart. Right. So what we need to do, concludes people like Jordan Peterson, is get Christianity woven back into the fabric of Western civilization, and that'll make it better again. No, it won't. No, that's not how Christianity works. Christianity isn't a fortune cookie. It's not a self-help book. It is about being in a right relationship with God. And the people who made Western civilization great, they didn't just use Christianity to create a really groovy civilization. They created a groovy civilization because they believed it was true. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Thanks to faithful supporters just like you, our new Fortis Institute podcasts aren't just reaching people, they're making waves. Every single one of our new shows ranks at least in the top 10% of all podcasts worldwide, some climbing even higher than that. From Integrated with Dr. John Krotz to Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, these programs are doing exactly what they were intended to do. They're touching lives and they're transforming hearts. But here's the thing, we can't continue this vital work without your help. As we face this brave new world together, I want to ask if you would consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Only if you're already faithfully giving to your local church, though, and not strapped by any type of unmanaged debt. If those areas in your life are in order, would you consider joining us? Because your support will help us produce even more life-changing content. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now. That's FortisInstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
What if you could strengthen your marriage in just minutes a day? Well, we're making that possible and easier than ever before, because now through the end of the month, we're giving away our resource Drive By Marriage completely free at fortisplus.org. And also don't forget to pick up the study guide absolutely free as well. Drive By Marriage gives you 31 powerful bite-sized lessons that fit into your busy schedule. And with the study guide, you're going to get deeper insights and practical exercises to apply what you're learning. This complete marriage building package has helped couples grow closer to each other and closer to God. You're going to discover keys to better communication, biblical solutions for resolving conflict, and ways to build lasting trust and intimacy. Don't miss this opportunity. Visit FortisPlus.org now to get your free digital copy of Drive By Marriage and the study guide. Remember, the special offer ends at the end of the month. Head to FortisPlus.org right now. It's Drive By Marriage, because a few minutes a day can transform your marriage forever. FortisPlus.org.
Know your church fathers. Tertullian was a well-trained Greco-Roman philosopher. When he converted to Christianity, he used his great learning to vigorously defend Christianity. Tertullian rejected secular philosophy and is famously quoted as saying, "What hath Athens to do with Jerusalem?" This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We have our winner. This is Wretched Radio. If you've been wondering who has the title of quote du jour, the answer would be the president of Unite Us, capital U, capital S. I guess it stands for United States, although they don't have periods, so I don't know why us is capitalized. Nevertheless, being interviewed because they're going to different campuses, as we shared last week, the University of Kentucky, where they're gathering them together. Elevation is doing a worship show, and then there's some preaching, and then people are getting baptized. And I will say it again, I hope kids are getting saved. I genuinely hope kids are getting saved. Now, that is not an endorsement of everything that they're doing, but if the gospel is being proclaimed and people are responding, I fear that we'll see the fallaway rate that we have seen from virtually every sort of great gathering of a crusade, if you will, that people can't be found in a context of a local church when everything is said and done. The statistics are quite shocking. Ray Comfort covers them, I believe, in Hell's Best Kept Secret. I think it's God Has a Wonderful Plan for Your Life. It was the book that he wrote that really is a must read. It will simply bring clarity to you as to why there's such tchotchke glop in evangelical Christianity. We basically lost the scent. We've forgotten what the gospel is, that it's about forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. And by the way, just as an aside, I fear that we're being deceived into being confused about a God cultural moment, people talking about God and genuine conversion. When was the last time on a big high-profile podcast you heard somebody talk about God's character and nature being holy, righteous, and just, and furious at sin, furious at sinners who commit sin, and that he will pour out his wrath on everybody who breaks his laws, and that is everybody. And the sentence for guilty criminals is eternal conscious torment. But Jesus, when was the last time you heard that? As opposed to, hey, consider the claims, look at how it impacted Western civilization. Hey, the Bible, textual criticism reveals that it's accurate, all of which is nice, but that ain't the gospel. When was the last time you heard it clearly proclaimed to, whether it's Joe Rogan or Jordan Peterson or Russell Brand for that matter? I don't know where Russell Brand is. I'm hoping that guy is saved. It seems like he knows the gospel is about forgiveness of sins. I guess I would have to say this. Russell Brand probably comes closer than anybody publicly explaining that the gospel is about being reconciled to a holy God. Short of that, we're hearing talk about Jesus, but I'm not hearing a lot of proclamation about Jesus. And I think we need to make that distinction pretty clear, because we might be, the devil doesn't care if people talk about Jesus. The devil cares if people believe in Jesus. That's what he hates. And so I think this cultural moment, I'm glad that it's not as kooky as it was, say, even a month ago, if that's even an accurate statement. But I don't want to be confused into thinking that people are getting saved all over the place. Back to the quote du jour. This is Tanya Pruitt, Jimmy, because apparently people are getting saved on university campuses, uh-huh, and we hope so. Quote, I am no prophet, but what I do feel like God has shown me. Well, you see, that's what a prophet is. Somebody who is shown something by God and told to speak or do something. So you can't say, I'm no prophet, and then prophesy. What God has shown me is this will be called the Greater Awakening, and this will be something our nation has never witnessed. Okay, let's see if that prophecy comes true. Now, according to another report on the Christian Post, 2,000 kids apparently at Ohio State had some kind of a response. And I want all 2,000 of them to be saved. I do. And we would rejoice at each and every one of those. But that's hardly a national revival. That's a good thing, but it's not a national revival. And when a woman says, I'm not a prophet, but she reveals all of the visions that God gave to her, it concerns me a little bit. This isn't something that I was going to revisit from our last segment, but nevertheless, I thought it might be helpful. As we go about the business of having to engage in conversation about genders and sex, the HHS has just proclaimed on its website, there's only two sexes. And I think some of their language was actually helpful. This is from Michael Grabowski from the Christian Post. HHS will officially define sex as being someone's immutable biological classification as either male or female. If you're dealing with an unbeliever about the gender issue, tie it to biology. just and they're going to use the except, well, there's some people who have this or that. Right. Those are called deformities. That sometimes people are born with six toes on one foot, but that doesn't mean that it's not a foot. It just means there's a deformity there. This contrasts with the definition of sex under the Biden administration, which included sexual orientation and gender identity. Furthermore, the agency will define female as a person of the sex characterized by a reproductive system that produces eggs, that's female. Male is a person with a reproductive system with the biological function of producing sperm. Okay. I don't know how, except just a rank denial of reality, an unbeliever can reject that. But if they do, I would simply ask them, why don't you trust the science? We're just trusting the science here. This was from the website. There are only two sexes, female and male, because there are only two types of gametes. An individual human is either female or male based on whether the person is of the sex characterized by a reproductive system with the biological function of producing eggs or sperm. So the word that you might want to latch onto here is gamete. The site says sex is unchangeable and determined by objective biology. And by God, but this is our government speaking. The use of hormones or surgical interventions do not change a person's sex because such actions do not change the type of gamete that the person's reproductive system has the biological function to produce. So think gamete. Think reproductive system. If you find yourself in one of these conversations about what is a woman, what is a man, this is the biological aspect. We as Christians, of course, would bring the theological aspect that in the beginning, God created male and female, the end. The HHS contends that rare disorders of sexual development don't equate to a third sex because these disorders do not lead to the production of a third gamete. In other words, the reproductive system with a disorder doesn't produce gametes other than eggs or sperm. That's because there are only two genders. Speaking of the HHS, Robert Kennedy Jr., who is heading it up, not my favorite nominee for that important position because it deals with health issues and it deals with the life issue. And by the way, speaking of the life issue and politics, Southern Baptist Convention wrote a letter to the government saying, defund Planned Parenthood. It's time. Oh, got it right here. Oh no, that's the SBC, Disfellowship Seven Churches. No, that's not it. The SBC sent a letter that said, you got to put an end to this because it's abominable to those of us who do not support abortion. Quote, end this egregious assault on the consciences of millions of pro-life Americans that has resulted in the unconscionable loss of millions of preborn sons and daughters at the hands of the organization. It's time to take this significant step toward establishing a true culture of life. Now's the time to defund Planned Parenthood. And to that I say, absolutely, positively. But might I suggest, if you're a Christian convention, denomination, church, pastor, or you simply say, I am a Christian, and you speak to government, let's sound like Christians. That means quoting Bible verses. That means saying, this is a wicked abomination. And if you continue to allow money, especially tax money, to go to the funding of the dismembering of children in the womb, you will face God, and He ain't going to be happy with you on Judgment Day. Repent! And defund Planned Parenthood. RFK is going to take a look at the abortion pill. Robert Kennedy said President Trump asked him to study the safety of the abortion pill after regulations were relaxed under the Biden administration. It can be distributed through mail, ridiculous, retail pharmacies without a woman being seen by a doctor to ensure she doesn't have an ectopic pregnancy. And while that, I think, is obviously a consideration, and that would be the job of HHS, might I suggest it's missing a component, and that would be the moral aspect, that we shouldn't be able to take a pill to terminate the life of our child, because that would be considered in any other circumstance other than this word salad world we live in, murder. That's why we don't want the abortion pill, primarily. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.